You are listening to the Hey Kids Comics Radio Show, broadcast through the facilities of Trent Radio on 92.7 CFFF-FM in Peterborough, Canada.
Hey, kids.
I'm Batman.
Look, up in the sky. It's a bird.
It's a plane.
It's dance-off, bro. Me and you.
Hello, and welcome to Hey Kids Comics. I'm your host, Dan Collins.
Hey there, this is Martin Bruda.
Chris Gill.
Hi, I'm Sam Tweedle. I could talk about Archie forever.
The biggest bane to my existence right now is Shield number 9.
They know that I would have put it under my shirt and ran off.
What are you talking about? I haven't seen any Action Comics number 1.
Gwenpool, I mean, Spider-Gwen, the whole heat and stuff, this is going to be worth a few bucks. And nobody wanted it.
Yes, Dan, the Killing Joke does need to be R-rated.
I kind of like punching the walls of reality as a way to bring a character back because nobody knows what we're talking about right now.
Dark Knight Strikes Back was one of the biggest piles of dung ever, and it was what, $10 an issue?
We need to shame Sam. He is not here because he's gone to the Gem and the Holograms movie.
Hulk smash!
Hey there, hi there, ho there, everybody. It's another blisteringly hot Friday afternoon. Martin Bruda here for Hey Kids Comics.
It's Martin from Peterborough.
Yes, I know.
You know.
I know Martin from Peterborough.
Okay, Martin.
Good to see you, Martin.
Yeah.
And I'm Sam Tweedle.
Chris Gilpin.
And you know what? Most time when it's hot out, like it's like insufferable in the studio.
But the fan's
they got
going.
A new fan. They got a new big fan, and it's keeping things cool. So nothing will be going in anybody's mouths tonight.
That's because the fan's blowing on you.
Oh, that's
I'm
why,
sweltering over here.
That's probably
cold.
Where it should blow. Now, do you think they bought that fan at that weird place out towards Lakefield?
Doesn't it look brand new to you?
The Outfitters.
The Fans Are Us.
Fans Are Us. No.
We went into this place one time. Me and Marty were going to visit Chris at the Lakefield
flea market.
And there was this place, like it was like a...
Yeah, that's the liquidation of the old Jack and Jill.
Right. So we're like, hey, you ever been in there? Maybe there's stuff in there.
That's new stuff, though.
So we pulled in. And I swear to God, all it was a billion fans. Yeah. That's all they there may have been other things there. But it's like maybe there's a pair of shoes, a bottle of water, and fans. So if you need fans and you need them cheap, that's where you go. What's the place called?
Welcome to the Hey Kids Fans Show.
Yeah, because we're fans of comics.
And we have issues.
We have issues.
So, hey, the new previews came out.
I haven't seen it yet.
I don't know if you guys saw that.
Previews. No, I won't get it for a week or two.
So, they're doing a big, huge digital thing. So now you can get your previews digitally. If you get the previews, there's a code so you can get it on your iPad and all sorts of...
Like the comics.
Yeah, like the comics. Mm-hmm. But at the bottom of the previews, there's this little thing there, and I took a picture of it. It says, one of everything. How much would it cost you to buy all 3,265 new comics, graphic novels, t-shirts, toys, and other collectibles in this issue of previews? How much do you think it would cost, U.S.?
3,000?
To buy one of everything that's in previews.
About as much as you spent in 2014?
I'm not touching it.
Oh, we're turning off his mic.
Not touching it.
So what do you think?
But it has statues and stuff in it too, right?
Statues, comics.
So you got to be looking at like millions, right?
$79,953.12.
You can afford that, Chris.
$80,000.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Sure.
So okay. For $80,000, you can get everything that month.
That doesn't make it. Anyways.
Wow. That's great.
But that's only one of everything. But like some things you need like multiples, right?
Right. But you know what? Like that's way too much Deadpool merch for my liking.
Oh, and Harley Quinn.
Yeah. So anyways, so last week, this is just something, I don't know if we had topics, so I'm going to segue into something right away because
yep,
I can.
Yeah, go for it.
Last week, Marty dropped in my hands a copy of Spider-Man Homecoming.
I did.
And tell me why. Let's recap.
Why are we having this debate?
We are.
It's not a debate.
It's not a debate. Okay. So
I'm currently boxing up my movie collection, mm-hmm. getting them moved out of the house and stuff. A long story. Nobody needs to get into. And I found that I accidentally had two copies of Spider-Man Homecoming Blu-ray for some reason. So I'm like, I'm
that
giving this to Sam.
Me.
I'm
and,
giving this to
and
Sam.
And why are you giving it to me, Marty?
Because Sam is, how should we say, open-minded, as he often says, about changes to comic book mythos.
I am open-minded until I make up my mind that it's crap.
There you go.
And then my mind's closed.
But you made up your mind that movie was crap before you saw it.
I knew it was going to agitate me.
Well, agitate that. I can live with
but
that.
But I didn't. But it wasn't something I wanted to spend my money on necessarily. See, I could go my entire life without seeing.
There you go.
But
and that's why I thought a free copy might entice you to watch it.
That's right. Oh yeah, I watched it the other night. I'm currently in the middle of destroying my apartment and scanning all my autographs. So when I was pulling them all out of the frames and watching the frames and whatever, that's what I did. Was I watched Spider-Man: Homecoming? I know it's been a while. I know I'm late to the party, but that's what I did.
So
Marty and Marty's my friend, and it was a free copy, right? I'm not like some people, Victoria, where you give them something and they'll never watch it. Charlie Brown's Christmas. Anyway, Victoria has never seen a Charlie Brown special. I know.
That's horrible.
I know. Anyway, so
you watched it?
I did watch it.
And?
I liked it, except for all the parts where I didn't.
There you go. That sums it up perfectly. Yeah.
However, I still have to put the caveat down that unless you read Brian Bendis's Ultimate Spider-Man run with Peter Parker...
Mm-hmm.
That's what this movie's
right.
based
but
on.
But you know it why? But I didn't. On... I didn't read that. And you know why I didn't read that? Because why would I have to read that when I could just read regular Spider-Man?
Because
I don't
regular
want...
Spider-Man at the time sucked.
Oh, it did suck. It sucked balls. But you know what? I didn't need to read new Spider-Man. See, I don't need to read what I've already read before. When like I don't need to reread what Ditko and Lee did by Brian Michael Bendis. It just the whole Ultimate Universe to me was redundant.
I felt the same.
It was New 52. Before New 52.
I'm huge X-Men. I've read none of the Ultimates X-Men except the ones that had Longshot in it because I was curious and it was totally different. But.
So I see what you're saying, but maybe that's and I see what you're saying, but okay. So what did I like?
Yes.
What did I like?
What did you like specifically?
I thought the story was great. I thought it captured the feeling of the useful Spider-Man I really like. I thought the kid who played Spider-Man was great.
Yes. His name is Tom Holland.
Tom Holland. What else does Tom Holland do? That name is recognizable to me.
I think he did one of those, but I think it was on the London stage. I don't think he did the movie version. What's that Billy movie where the kid, instead of playing soccer or football or whatever, becomes a dancer?
Billy Madison?
No, that's the golfing one with...
what's his balls? yeah.
But I feel like he played that kid either in the movie or on the stage in London.
So, but yeah, I liked him. I liked him.
Like we've seen him in Avengers. Did you like him as Spider-Man in the Avengers?
I like the Vulture. The guy who played the Vulture. I thought that was good.
Batman.
I like the little.
He's Batman.
Oh, that was what's his face?
Michael Keaton.
Yeah, it was Michael Keaton playing.
Oh,
the Vulture.
I didn't recognize him at all. Yeah. Oh wow! And then
apparently during filming, he actually turned to Tom Holland and said, "I'm Batman."
That's funny. And then also really I like the little twist ending, the twist where you saw how their lives were connected and everything. Like, so little things like that. I like the girl who played Liz Allen, who wasn't really Liz Allen. It was Liz Toombs, but like whatever. See, that's where I start getting into the crap I hate.
Christine says Billy Elliot.
All right.
See, I don't know.
Anyway, stuff I hated.
Preach it, brother. Preach it.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. I can't even start to talk about how much I hated Flash Thompson. So much.
My friends call me MJ.
What was the point of that? That was garbage.
That was ridiculous.
So I actually had a lot of problems with the supporting cast. I liked the kid who played Ned Leeds, but I didn't like the whole MJ thing. I thought the Flash Thompson thing was so misdirected. Like a bully nerd? What's that?
Yeah.
That's not a thing. And I couldn't stand Aunt May. I couldn't stand Aunt May. Aunt May needs to be 98 years old and on the verge of death.
What's wrong with Marissa Tomei?
I like Marissa Tomei, but you know what? They should have got like friggin' Julie Dench or
Dench
should have played her. Or who's the woman from? She's the Academy Award winning actress from Downton Abbey. Who's like? I can't.
I've never seen an episode of Downton Abbey.
She. I can't think of her name.
Please tell me you're not thinking Helen Mirren.
No, but that.
But Helen Mirren, how long?
Okay, but or Diana Rigg or
anybody over 75.
Yes, is what I'm saying. Like, holy crap, my mom looks more like Aunt May than Marissa Tomei. Okay, like, if I want to have sex with Aunt May, that should not be casting material. Yeah. Okay,
Peter can't walk into the local deli and go, "Hey, Peter, how's your aunt doing?"
No. So really, it's that kind of fanboy aesthetic. So most of my problems were really with the casting of supporting cast, or the way they handled certain supporting cast members. I like the connection between Tony Stark and Spidey, although that's more, as I said before, the connection between Miles Morales and Tony Stark.
Not really, because in the Ultimates, it is indeed Peter Parker that starts that relationship with Tony Stark. Yeah. Tony Stark brings him in.
But bottom line, I would have rather had a Miles Morales film. That should have been a Miles Morales film. I will always stand by that.
Well, you're getting your Miles Morales film this
Christmas,
fall.
And I'm looking forward to it.
Because it looks great.
It looks great. I'm usually not into ants.
There's a Miles Morales animated Spider-Man flick.
Oh, I know. Okay, yeah.
That's coming out, and it's got Spider-Gwen's in it, and mm-hmm. It looks pretty good.
Looks good. I'm usually not into animated films, but that looks, yeah, I'm going to be at that, so.
And is that where Silk is, and then that's why your comic book is
going Silk's crazy? In it.
Oh, Silk's in it. I got those original Silk appearances. What? How much are they worth?
$150 it's right ridiculous. Now for that issue.
If anybody would like to buy the first appearance of Silk off me, I will part with it for $100.
I will part with mine for $75.
Mm-hmm. Chris, do you have one?
I'll give you
$60. All right, well. $60.
Name that comic book in four notes.
Yeah. I have to go find it. God, I knows where it is, but I know I have it.
If anybody has the Spider-Man first appearance of Morbius. Better grab that one.
Do you know who has that? It's Bedreau.
Jared Leto's playing him in the one of the.
Yeah, I saw
Jared
that.
Leto's Joker
in the DC universe.
What? They can't do that.
No, what do you mean they can't do that? Batman just played the Vulture. Captain America played
two characters. Hal Jordan's played three. Ryan Reynolds has played at least two.
Yeah, it happens. Didn't Cyclops
three if you count Deadpool?
Didn't Cyclops play Superman, Lois Lane's boyfriend?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah. Is there just like 20 actors in Hollywood now?
I think so.
They just recycle them.
Just about as many songs as they play on hit radio.
I'm willing to bet it's like a talent agency thing. You know, there's like one big talent agency, and if you're represented by that talent agency, you get the jobs and stuff. Yeah. I mean, Chris Pratt's in everything.
Yeah.
You know.
Mm-hmm. But Kevinner does notice, I was thinking about this the other day, that once upon a time Travolta was in everything, and now he's in nothing.
That's because he was hot for a metric minute while, because of Tarantino. Putting him in.
Do you think Pulp Chris Pratt will eventually be like that?
No, because Chris Pratt actually has talent. He's charming as.
See, I really like Ryan Reynolds, so I don't hate on the Green Lantern movie as much as a lot of people.
But see,
Ryan Reynolds is charming as heck as well.
Travolta was charming in Saturday Night Fever.
He was always gross.
In Saturday Night Fever?
Oh, he was gross and. Gino Wappolino.
He hits my hair. He hits my hair. You know, I spend a lot of time on my hair, and he hits my hair.
I bet you drove an IROC. We were talking about IROCs today. I run on cologne. There's no doubt in my mind. No, I never was a big Travolta fan.
Yeah, but and you know the DC universe, they call that Arak.
Ba-dum-bum. Only people that dig in the quarter bin know that joke.
Yeah. Oh, what was the joke I made the other day? It was a great one-liner. We were walking down the street, and you know there's that store. It used to be a Shopper's Drug Mart.
Oh, yeah, it used to be a Shopper's Drug Mart. Now it's like Crack Den. Weird pavilion of weirdness with
and then
pianos.
It was like an Asian shop of some sort.
Isn't it the Trent University Bookstore now?
No, gosh.
No.
So this is right across from Hazleton's.
Yeah, it's been all papered up forever.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So we noticed that the paper was coming down, and we were able to see it, and it's all still, like, it's been closed for years.
The same postcards and posters that were hanging on the wall are still there. They're just all sun-faded. Mm-hmm. There's pianos, and then if you look, there's actually, like, a ad hoc kitchen built in there with like microwaves and a sink and stuff and a bucket under the sink to catch the water and stuff. I'm thinking somebody's living there.
Yeah, it must be. So yeah. I mean, we're walking down and you said some what was it? I was like, come on, that's the kind of place where they still have commandies on the spinner rack. and I realized that you got to be a certain breed of nerd to know what that means.
Yeah. Well, I'll say, if you come out to Lakefield, I can show you lots of commandies in A-Rex.
Commandies.
You got commandies?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, all right. Yeah.
I know when I was trying to get my commandy set, I ended up with quite a few doubles and stuff, and I think Chris inherited them.
That's a series of
various transactions.
You know what? That's a series I've always wanted to read from beginning to end. Yeah. I've never had the chance to. Yeah.
Speaking of which, as I'm sorting my comic collection and getting it all into the storage locker, so far I found a stack good 6 inches tall of doubles that I didn't realize I had doubles.
No kidding.
Oh, yeah.
Any commandies?
And the Ice Cream Man?
Yeah, I've got Ice Cream Man, 2 copies of number one.
You found your copies?
I have a variant cover and the regular cover.
Oh,
and
that's
then
great.
I found 2, 3, and I think I have 4.
Right.
So
you need Ice Cream Man?
No, you were complaining.
Airman, that you lost your first issue.
Slightly accusing that somebody took it. One of us took your number
Not
one.
Not took it. I'm just like, I didn't know where it went. I'm like befuddled. I still don't know where it went.
Yeah.
Well, you just found it, so you know where it went.
No, it's not that. I found
copies elsewhere, eBay.
Gotcha. All right. So I had to cut down my comic book collection quite...
You mean your pull list?
My pull list. Yeah. I had to slice, dice, and really...
So how many titles are you at now? Because I'm at 20.
603.
I was at 42.
Yeah.
And then I got it down to 15, but I've since gone up to 17.
Because I was at 60 issues a month. And that's like, you know how some of them are bi-weekly, right? Like Superman comes out twice a month. So that included both copies. So 60 physical copies. I'm down to 20.
See, so what happened? Did you guys talk about it on the show last week? I didn't listen to the show last week. I was in a car crash.
No, we didn't talk about your car crash.
Okay,
wasn't it?
No, it was last Friday. A week ago today.
Oh, okay.
Oh, right. So I was in a car crash last week, and I'm still waiting to hear from the insurance company.
See, some people would call it a fender bender, but you're like full on car crash.
It was a car crash. I mean, it was bad. So my car has been written off, and I'm still waiting to hear from.
Did you get your rental yet?
Oh, yeah. I'm driving my rental. But the thing is
like a Ferrari?
No,
I'm just... Did they give you a Charger?
No. I'm just driving a Hyundai. But they're good quality cars.
Did you peel...
Says the guy who works at a Hyundai dealership.
Did you peel the stickers off your old car?
No, I couldn't get them off. I did try. Oh, man. But I'm just going to buy new stickers. You can get them on Amazon.
Oh, okay.
So, anyways. So, I'm thinking about the future. I may have a car payment. My insurance is definitely going up, and I'm like, I need to make, I need to save money. So what's the first thing to go? Comic collection. Marty was great. He picked me up and drove me all around getting all this stuff, and we're sitting there at the police station, and I'm just looking at Marty. I'm like, I'm done. I'm canceling comics. And Marty says to me, do you remember what you said to me? Marty. You don't remember what you said to me. So Marty says to me,
I told you give up records, not comics.
Yeah, that'll never happen. So anyways, you might as well just tell me to stop breathing. Marty says to me, you can enjoy comics. Like, just get 5 or 6 or something like that. So I decided to go with 15. Canceled all my titles everywhere. And then next day, I called up Alex at CBA. And I said, all right, all my books are canceled. These are the ones I want. And I just named the first 15 titles that came to the top of my head.
Yeah.
That's the way to do it, And then I got him to read them back to me, right? And he told me what I have. And very interesting. Only 2 DC books, only 1 Marvel, and everything else is from other companies, which I think is really kind of interesting. Now, it did go up by 2 because I called Alex the next day and I was like, Alex, there's no Archie books at all on my pull list. And he's like, yeah. And I'm like, I can't do that. So I added, for better or for worse, I added the Betty Veronica book, which first issue didn't really wow me. But I like Dan's parents' art, and I just want to support classic Archie. Like if I quit buying Betty and Veronica, no one will buy Betty and Veronica, and we'll never see this again. And I added the Batman 66 meets Batman. But I will not. I'm not buying the Mark Waid Archie type series, which this will be the first time in probably 10 years I've never bought the regular Archie book. Yeah. Like I, not that I haven't enjoyed it, but there's more stuff I want to. I probably enjoy it better than Betty Veronica, but I like the art better than Betty Veronica.
Did you see that Archie 1941 or whatever that's coming?
No, what's that?
It's Archie set in the 40s instead of in the 50s.
Oh, that sounds kind of cool.
And I can't remember if it's a mini series or I'm sure I can pull it up.
And they all go to war and Cheryl Blossom's a Nazi? Wait, what? That's Riverdale. Sorry. That's Riverdale. Sorry, I forgot.
I'm sorry, but Cheryl Blossom makes that show. But anyways,
yeah, she's a honey. I don't even watch it, and I know I think that.
I'm sorry, but in the last episode, she's literally hunting a man in the woods with a bow and arrow. Like,
what?
But you don't watch it, so it doesn't. You saw that though, right, Martin?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, anyway. So the books I'm buying, do you guys want to hear my pull list?
Yes, absolutely.
All right, okay, so if I can remember it off, it's Doomsday Clock whenever that comes out.
Yeah, the one-year series that's going to turn into a three-year series.
Mr. Miracle, which is only a few more issues. Runaways, so that's the end of my Marvel and DC. Mm-hmm. That's crazy right there. And then after that, it's Kick-Ass, Walking Dead, Stray Bullets, that Death or Glory, I'm going to keep that going for a little while. Nancy Drew, which is over at Dynamite. Strangers in Paradise, which was an obvious for me, because I've always been such a big fan of that. Ice Cream Man. Baby Teeth, which I think is my only Aftershock book. Black Hammer, which is my only Dark Horse book. The Big Hero 6 book, which IDW is doing. First issue hasn't come out yet, but everybody knows I have a crazy thing about Honey Lemon. Right, of course I'm going to buy that. And the 15th one was Kill or Be Killed, which actually final issue came out on Wednesday. Mm-hmm. So I have room for one more book.
Oh.
Yeah.
Well, here's that Archie 1941.
Let's take a look.
So it sends the Archie gang back to World War II. So it is going to be.
Of course, they're
going. I don't know about any Nazis. I don't think any of my relatives will be there.
Does it take place, or you say they're sent back?
It takes place in 1941.
You know what? Reggie is totally going to die in this book.
No, it's just a mini series.
They're going to send Reggie to war, and Reggie's going to die, and he's going to come back a hero. Reggie's going to die.
So other than that.
I'm still working on that big pile of comics I bought a few weeks ago. I probably won't be at the comic store for another 2 weeks, the way it's looking right now, unless something awesome happens, like I win money. But it's gonna be. But hey, that's the thing. I figured it out. Like I can go in a month, and it's less than I would have spent in a week. You know what I mean? Which is great. You know, if you're looking to make money, if you're looking to save money, or you got disaster in your life, I hate to say it, but sometimes quitting comics is, or reducing it by more than half, it's a way to go.
No, I'm still a firm believer. Like, when I was getting 60 issues a month, I'm forgetting what's going on. I'm not keeping up, you know. For decades, it was 20 books a month I used to get, you know. So why did it get so big? And it was because, you know, try this, try that, try this. Like, yesterday, I put on the kitchen table all the sort of number ones that I picked up that I wanted to try out. So, Her Infernal Descent, A Walk Through Hell, Brothers Dracul, like all these different series that I was going to try. And I realized I haven't even read them yet. And I've already got issues 2 and issues 3 of some of them.
A Walk Through Hell, I'm thinking about sticking with.
Yeah.
If I can't get number 2, I might buy yours off you.
Well, we'll see what happens.
All right. Right, because that one I'm kind of, first issue is so good, and you have the second issue. I don't have that yet.
Like I said, I still got lots of catching up to do, but I decided to jump forward because Marvel and DC always have these story arcs, right? So I just kind of picked the most recent arc. But you miss stuff.
Yeah, well, that's like what happens when you skip some issues. Chris.
I know. Yeah. Like, well, it's just more like I'm reading the Cyclops or the Colossus Kitty Pride Wedding issues,
right?
You know,
did you enjoy it?
I did. It was a sad ending, but then
what happens at the end?
Well, Colossus goes to put the ring on Kitty, and she phases. So the ring goes right through her hand. And then she goes, I can't do this, and gone.
So they're not married?
They're not married. But
oh.
After that, right. People are kind of at the reception going, okay, this is kind of awkward, and Kitty and Colossus are talking, blah, blah, blah. And something was said, and Gambit says, yeah, I'm doing this. Walks up the Rogue, marry me. So she says yes, and everybody gets their suits back on, and the minister's still there, and out they go, and now they're married.
So Rogue and Gambit are married.
Yeah.
But Kitty Pryde and Colossus aren't married. No,
but what I don't get is...
Oh, Kitty, you're so wishy-washy.
Yeah.
That's because she wants to get married to Wolverine.
Yeah.
We all know that.
Well, that was another thing, because...
Because everybody wants to get married to Wolverine.
Well, when the guys were heading out to the wedding in their limos, mm-hmm. Wolverine was watching from a rooftop.
Oh, like the real Wolverine, not Old Man Logan?
I think it was the real Wolverine. He said, good luck, guys. You know, I hope it works out. But I'm like, geez, what is going on with Wolverine? Anyways.
Well, he's coming back. Like, in the latest Marvel previews, there's a whole Wolverine coming back miniseries that's coming out.
But at the end of the wedding, obviously, Rogue kisses Gambit. And then you can see his hand on her face. And I'm going like, okay, what did I miss? How is he touching Rogue's skin? I've totally, like...
Well, you can touch Rogue for temporarily, quick.
No.
I thought you could.
No. And this was not... I mean, obviously, you don't know how long it was, but... He would have been down on the ground. So obviously,
no. Hasn't something changed with Rogue?
I don't know. That's the problem.
Wasn't she like a member of S.H.I.E.L.D. or something strange?
Oh, that's the problem.
No, I thought that was Dazzler.
Yeah, Dazzler was a member of S.H.I.E.L.D. I think Rogue was as well.
Yeah, like that's what happens when you skip a bunch of issues.
Yeah, I don't know. Obviously. It was a wedding issue. I passed it right away. I'm like,
It was actually okay, but.
Last thing I learned.
Have they married Batman and Catwoman off yet? Almost. Has that happened yet? When's that happening?
Issue 50.
Yeah.
Okay.
Weeks
I'm not buying that either.
You know, Martin asked me a question. It was kind of serious. I thought it was more of a statement, and I never got a chance to respond to it, so I think I'm going to respond to
it now.
What
was the statement?
No, let me get that.
Okay.
I went and checked, and at no point can I see the Joker reloaded that gun.
There you go.
I counted the shots.
Yeah.
There was about 20 of them.
20 shots out of a 6-shot revolver.
Yeah, and I was thinking, man, he must have reloaded. Nah, no, he didn't.
No, it's an old school 1940s Smith & Wesson police officer revolver, service revolver, and he fires off 20 some odd rounds out of this darn thing, and I'm like,
Catwoman,
it's a revolver. It only shoots 6 shells. Like, no.
I'm thinking maybe he switched gun. No, I don't see that either.
No, he did switch guns.
Oh, Martin's right.
No.
But it was still a good issue.
It was a great issue.
Them sitting there bleeding to death talking about all the old school stuff. Penguin, didn't he have an umbrella? No, I think he had
What are you guys talking about?
Okay, so in Batman right now, right?
Batman
and Catwoman are getting married. All these... Instead of actually being an adventure before that issue, they're telling these little vignettes.
Oh, okay.
And, that was a fancy French word, eh?
Vignette.
Oh. Mon crayon, it's grand.
Je m'appelle Chien.
Où est la bibliothèque?
René Simard.
Someone's dying in the kitchen right now.
Yeah.
The one issue was...
48.
The one issue was Joker asking Batman why he's not the best man. And, of course, he asks him by taking this church hostage that has a wedding at it. And he ends
kills
everybody, gets the drop on Batman. Batman's, like, laying on the floor, beat up a little bit. And he's like, hey, buddy, how come I'm not the best man? Am I not your chum? And they kind of go through a little bit of the Joker-Batman history and dynamic. And it's really, well written. So the next issue... Catwoman comes in, like it takes place a few seconds after the end of the last issue.
Yeah.
Batman's still kind of unconscious and stuff on the floor. Catwoman comes in, and it's a big, huge thing. Catwoman and Joker. Joker's like, why didn't you invite me to the wedding? And why aren't I the best man? And they're both kind of mortally wounded on the floor, and one's holding his neck, and the other one's holding their artery in their thigh, and if they let go, they'll bleed to death. So they kind of... go through this history, and like Joker's like, literally, hey, you remember Penguin and that umbrella? And Catwoman's going, umbrella? I didn't think it was an umbrella, I think it was a walking stick. And they keep going on about it. It's hilarious, well written,
right?
At the very end, the point that Joker's trying to make is that Batman is Batman because he's dark and moody, basically,
yeah,
and
Like, Batman is basically a villain.
Yeah.
He's motivated as a villain. He's a bad person. He's not a good person, but he's fighting on the good side. So that's always the thing about Batman.
So at the end, Joker says to Catwoman, if you marry him, you're going to make him happy. So what happens to Batman? Right?
It's just like Billy Joel.
Which one?
Like Billy Joel.
As soon as he married
Christy Brinkley,
he stopped making good music.
Pretty much. Because, like, you listen to early Billy Joel albums, right?
Piano Man.
Piano Man and The Stranger and Captain Jack and Goodbye Hollywood and whatever. And he's really angsty. He's really angry. He's an angry man at a piano. All of a sudden, he marries Christy Brinkley and it's Uptown Girl. You know what I mean?
However, I have to interject. He was not dating Christy Brinkley when he wrote that. It's about, who was he dating before? Darn, I forgot. See, here I am trying to pull out this useless nugget of knowledge, and I can't even remember the useless nugget of knowledge. The song was actually not written about her, even though she's in the video. It was written about somebody else.
All right, but it was also the problem with Straczynski's Spider-Man. I hated it. That's the first time I quit reading Spider-Man. Because all of a sudden, Spider-Man, you know, he was a school teacher and he was married to a supermodel, and Aunt May knew that he was Spider-Man, so she wasn't always getting sick and about to die and everything. And all of a sudden, Spider-Man had no problems. He was happy.
Yeah.
And that really sucked, you know. But you know, I don't know. Well, my question is, so who is the best man? Is it Dick Grayson or is it Clark Kent?
Yeah, Superman. Know.
Did he?
Yeah. Did he?
Because that was another issue where, like I said, these little vignettes, it was all about Dick. I just think it's great that on the radio you can say Dick.
Richard
Grayson. Yeah. Dick. Dick was, okay, I can't stop saying Dick.
So say Richard.
Richard.
Dick. All right.
Richard.
Okay.
Okay, so Richard Grayson, Robin.
Dick.
Nightwing. Dickwing.
All of a sudden we've turned into a bunch of 7-year-olds. Come on.
I think somebody's had too many peanut butter balls.
All right, come on. You said balls, Dick. All right.
Okay, all right. This show is
so balls Grayson.
Okay.
Yeah.
So Nightwing, old Robin.
Yeah.
There's an entire issue where he's talking to Batman about how he's understanding and accepting of the fact that he's not actually the best man. That he feels he's more Bruce's son than best friend, even though they have a very close bond.
So, Chris, why am I not the best man?
I don't know.
All right. That's good. That's okay. That's good. I wasn't expecting to be. All right.
I'm still trying to talk him out of the wedding, so.
Oh, ooh,
I don't know. I don't know whether I'm a best man.
For my phone to go off in a sec. But the three issues before that arc with Booster Gold, that was great. I really liked it. I don't know if it's because I don't read too much Booster Gold all the time or the whole alternate universe, but it was.
What was Booster Gold doing?
Well, basically they turned Booster Gold into the new, not Adam Strange. Help me out here.
Wave Rider?
No. Who's the guy who time travels all the time? Before.
Oh, Rip Hunter.
Rip Hunter.
Yeah.
And Rip Hunter's actually Booster Gold's father.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, they revealed that too.
Oh, that makes sense. Because Booster Gold's kind of like the new Rip Hunter. He's traveling through time and stuff like this. So there's this entire couple issue arc, which I unfortunately didn't pay enough attention to. So I can't remember it. I'm going to have to reread that comic. And, sorry, I got distracted.
Three comics.
You guys are going to have to go on ahead without me here. I've got an issue.
Yeah, you got issues.
So anyway, he has issues.
Booster wanted to give Bruce Wayne a gift for his wedding. So he went back in time.
And brought his parents back to life.
Tried to bring his parents back to life. And
boom!
It
I got that.
Insane.
Because you can't do that.
You can't do that.
Oh, I totally have to reread that comic.
But it was great because at the end, it's time travel, so it's complicated. So, Booster
Gold.
They've gone back to Bruce's actual when he was a kid, right? Coming out of the movie. And Booster's there. It's Bruce, right? Yeah, it's Bruce, and he's all insane because this Booster Gold caused his parents to be killed. So somehow they're back. I can't even remember now. They're back in Bruce's past, mm-hmm. right? And the Bruce and his parents are watching the movie, and the other older Bruce from the other future is there fighting with Booster Gold, and he's firing guns because he's totally gun happy. So the Wayne family comes out of the theater and they're walking down the street.
And it's Bruce Wayne who kills his parents.
No.
Oh.
No. But because the older Bruce Wayne that Booster Gold screwed around with is shooting, his dad says, "Oh, I hear gunfire. We better go down this alley instead." So because Booster went back to try and this, now he actually caused his parents to be killed.
There was a great Booster Gold series by Jeff Johns. That's where it was revealed that Rip Hunter was Time Master. And
was that the one just before New 52?
Yes, but it was unchanged in New 52 because it was all something somehow. It all, I don't know. Anyways, there was this one really great issue that I remember that was really memorable where Booster Gold kept going back to try to save Barbara Gordon from the Joker from being paralyzed, and he couldn't stop it, and he kept going back and going back. And I think in the whole issue, and Booster Gold's usually a pretty funny book, but this one was not funny. It was just this dramatic about how he couldn't save her, no matter how much he kept going back over and over and over again. It was kind of like Groundhog Day.
Yeah.
Like the whole issue was like Groundhog Day, but really awful because you just watch Barbara Gordon get shot again and again and again, and it takes its toll on Booster, right? Like, sure. He's just like, it was an amazing issue. That was an amazing series, and I still have that. If it when I'm planning on purging my comic books collection pretty heavy in the next year. I just got to get organized and ready to do it. But that's one series I will be keeping, is Jeff Johns' Booster Gold series. It was a masterpiece, a really understated masterpiece.
I'm going to have to reread that one.
The other thing I liked was the dynamic between Booster and Skeets, is it?
Yeah,
Skeets,
robot. The jokes and the insults, it was great.
That was the same, right? In Johns'. Did Jeff Johns write this issue?
No.
Oh,
I don't think so.
Yeah, I don't
It was know. A three-issue arc. It was called The Gift.
Oh, yeah, great.
I'm going to have to reread that one.
Yeah.
But our adoring public says it was Elle Macpherson that Billy Joel was
dating at
was
the time.
Richarding at the time.
Oh my god. who'd that come from? Who'd that come from?
Penny in the kitchen.
Oh, okay. Thank you, Penny.
What else did you guys read? I actually read some books.
As I said, I didn't really read too much this week. I've been busy doing theater stuff and scanning pictures and working and a lot of theater stuff this week. So I didn't read. Oh, I read. I caught up on Stray Bullets. I did read a couple of issues of Stray Bullets. I read the first issue of Venom by Danny Cates.
Right.
Which I'm not going to be buying the second issue of. Not that it wasn't good, but it just didn't make my 15 issues. But I already had it, so I thought I'd read it. It was all right. But I won't be. Yeah.
Issue 3 is out.
Oh, already?
It came out last Wednesday. And apparently there's a new symbiote, a new character. So, of course, the guys in the forum, "Oh, it's a new character. You got to buy this because this book's going to be hot." Like, okay, buddy. I know you went out and bought 20 copies and you're trying to inflate the price, but settle down.
Hey, just settle down. Last time I remember, wasn't Flash Thompson Venom?
He was Agent Venom or something.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, like, when did the old, what was that guy's name? Eddie Brock.
Yeah.
And wasn't he a different character who cured people?
Anti-Venom.
Anti-Venom.
Yes.
So
he was in the... He's in Amazing Spider-Man.
Okay.
Helps defeat Red Goblin.
Yeah, that's right. Okay, so I'm just confused. Or I don't care.
Yeah.
It's probably a little bit of both.
Well, it was in... There was a few interesting things about that run on Spider-Man that just finished.
Mm-hmm.
You know, one of them being that... that Peter put on the black suit again, the Venom symbiote, because Eddie Brock was knocked out or something, so he said, "Here, take the suit." And so even though there's that hate relationship, they worked together, the suit and Peter, so that was kind of cool.
Mm-hmm.
Somehow Doc Ock is like, I don't know, 20 years old and slim. I don't know. See, I don't know most of this stuff.
Is he still with a little person?
They didn't cover that.
Oh.
He was just, everybody was out to protect Peter's family, and he was protecting Aunt May, of course.
Now, while we're on the topic of Spider-Man.
Who was 80?
Definitely.
Okay.
While we're, Isn't she like 60 and dating J. Jonah Jameson's dad?
No, she was 80 and she was married to J. Jonah Jameson's dad, except he died. He sacrificed his life for some reason to save May, but I don't know why, because that was after that really horrible issue Spider-Man where Spider-Man fell from space, and I was like, okay, I'm done. I haven't read Spider-Man since.
But I mean, I have to say, I'm worried for The Walking Dead, both the comic and the TV show.
Wait, we're still on Spider-Man.
No,
we're at Spider-Man. Walking Dead now.
No, I gotta ask you about Spider-Man, because you guys read Spider-Man, I'm not.
I only read...
On earth is Spider-Geddon?
I don't know. It's just the stupidest thing I've ever seen.
I mean, is this the next Spider Island?
Did you say Spider-Geddon?
Spider-Geddon.
Yeah. I thought he said Spider-Getty, and it was like, is that like the Spider-Man in the pasta in a can?
It's the Spider-Verse all over again. It's the next Marvel thing. Anyways.
Right, well, whatever.
So like, is that going to be a thing? Like, what is all this stupid Spider-Man stuff? Like... Just another ridiculous story.
What am I looking at? What's this?
It's just another crossover.
Oh my gosh, Sam, you're the best. What are we looking at here? I want to see too.
Anyway,
you are not subtle. Looking at.
This is.
What are you doing?
I don't care.
So
here, it's a joke.
Oh,
it's a comic strip. You gotta read the comic strip.
I just don't think the comic book has any more stories.
No,
to tell.
They're wrapping it up, dude.
But there's no official word that
but
what are they wrapping up?
Walking Dead.
The comic.
Oh, book. Walking Dead.
Oh, because yeah. Like, but Kirkman's working on that Oblivion song now.
Well, he's done. That's fine. He's done other stuff.
Invincible. We're gearing up for the end, man.
Yeah, I mean, like, it's the same thing. So
my trick question is he gearing up for the end of Walking Dead, or is Walking Dead going to be replaced with like a Fear the Walking Dead comic?
Because
my understanding is Oblivion Song, the sales are just not there.
I'm already not buying it.
Well, it's the same with the other one that I can never... Outcast.
Yeah, Outcast.
I liked Oblivion Song, just not well enough to... Yeah. You know,
Or is Kirkman ready to wrap up this particular story arc completely and new cast characters? Because that's what happened with Walking Dead, really. This new season of Walking Dead on TV... It's very tangentially related to the previous seasons. I mean, only half the cast is the same people. The other cast, like half the cast is dead, and there's some cast members from the other TV show.
Oh, yeah. Fear the Walking Dead just did a whole 180 on cast.
It's like a new 52 version of the original series. So is that the same thing going to happen in the comic book?
Are you guys finally going to get that Daryl Dixon book that everybody's been screaming for?
Because apparently Daryl Dixon, the guy who plays Daryl Dixon, he's in talks to become the main highest paid character actor in the TV show.
Well, that was the point I was going to make about the show, is that Andrew Lincoln says he's gone next season. Lauren, Maggie, she's gone.
Really?
Yeah.
Did they really kill off Coral?
Yeah.
Well,
yeah, Carl. Carl's gone. And apparently John Barenthal has been...
Yeah, he's supposed to come back and do a few.
So to me, it sounds like a big Rick's gonna die and have a flashback with Barenthal, with Shane, and it just sounds like a huge wrap up now that all the cast's leaving.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think that Daryl can. I mean, I think Daryl's cool. He's anyways.
For not a character,
but he can't carry it. I don't think he can carry it without Rick and Maggie and even Carl. Like, it's just different.
Like He's an incredibly popular character, but that's like saying that Boba Fett could carry Star Wars movies without Luke and Darth Vader and stuff. I just don't think that's possible.
Well, with this, I mean, Negan must be going too, I would think, unless they really stretch that one out.
Unless Negan becomes...
Although Negan's still alive in the comics, so...
Yeah, but they're kind of apparently done with him. Like, Kirkman wrote in the letter column that was Negan's exit.
So he's done with
I like the way Negan left.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was
and
a good
could have
a good
killed
issue.
Him, but she didn't, and he buggered off.
Yeah.
But the comic book, so you've got the small group that's at, what do you call it, this new settlement.
What is it called? Not the Metropolis, the...
I can't think of it. Anyways, but they've got
it'll come to me.
They've got this...
The Commonwealth.
Commonwealth,
yes. Yeah.
And Michonne's found her daughter living there, right? And so the small group is finally going back to talk to Rick.
Yeah.
And Michonne's like, no, I'm staying.
She stayed.
Here, give Rick my sword. He'll know it's good.
Yeah.
But then, you know,
But there's a horrible thing going on.
It's all based on class.
It's all based on class and wealth.
If you were rich before, you're rich now or whatever.
Yeah.
Right?
If
you were poor then, you're still poor.
You're exactly where you were in the scheme of things.
Yeah. So they're going like, what? But so they finally get the governor, right, from the Commonwealth and like this huge army to go meet Rick. And she's like, "Hi, I'm the governor."
And he's like, "His hands like going,
governor, really?" And right from there, you know, they're like, they're looking at each other with scowls the whole time.
Oh yeah. They're going, oh, yet they're flirting. There was a flirtation, not a serious flirtation, more like let's flirt with each other because the moment we turn each other's back, we will kill each other.
Yeah,
but it's not like that. That they actually want to knock balls. It's that they want to. Kill each other. Like they don't like each other at all.
The only way, I mean, again, so you got a new community, a new leader, somebody who doesn't like Rick. Rick doesn't like them. It's just
I think a couple of weeks ago, Collins was talking about it, right? And Dan was saying that he thinks it's all good is over because now all of a sudden we're going to realize that Rick and his faction, they've actually been the crazy whack out ones.
Yeah,
and Rick is old man crazy Rick.
Yeah.
Like, he's crazy Rick. You know, he's the one who's all, all sketched out and weird. You know how they would go and they'd find other communities and they would be, you know, the other communities would be the aggressors or the bad guys or the crazy ones or the ones with no organization. Well, now that's been turned. And I'm not saying that they've all said in the book, the Commonwealth's not perfect, but...
Yeah.
And I think that's going to obviously be,
But they have their own issues, right? Like, the head of the army is talking about killing the governor, you know.
Well, so. Is he talked about killing the governor or the governor's son?
Well, both, because the governor's son's a little brat.
But. Yeah. Oh, that governor's son needs to die.
Yeah.
You know what I think is going to happen? Actually, can I make a prediction?
Mm-hmm.
All right. What's the name of the little girl that Maggie and Glenn raised?
Oh, Sophia?
Sophia.
Yeah.
Right. And you know how Sophia's been dealing with her jealousy over with Carl and his zombie girlfriend.
Yeah.
And I think my prediction is that because she's starting to, you know, be a young lady, my prediction is that the governor's son. Will try to sexually assault her.
Have his way with her.
And that is when shit is... And then Coral's going to kill him, and then that's when shit's going to go down. I really think you're going to find some kind of weird... Yeah. You know, because they've been hinting at something with her. And I think... And he is violent with women.
Mm-hmm.
And
takes what he wants.
Yeah, and that's my prediction. I think it's all going to come down to Sophia. For some weird reason, I think that she's going to play into the explosive nature of this. Because you know that the son is going to...
Oh, he's going to be something. Yeah,
there's already been conflict. He is going to... Yeah, he's going to be the... Right, like you remember in the old Looney Tunes cartoons where there'd be like the big bomb and there'd be the fuse and the, or not the fuse, but it was like gunpowder, right?
Yeah.
Right. I think that kid is the explosion. You know, right now we're going, you know, I think that's what's going on. I don't know. Yeah. I think he's explosion somehow. That's my prediction.
And those that are confused because they only watch the TV show, Sophia is still alive in the comic.
Okay, those people who are confused and because they only watch the
so
TV show,
Carl.
Read a book. Read a book. Pick up the book and read it. Libraries have it.
Although I will say.
The library has it.
I will say.
The Walking Dead books. Read a book.
I will say that on the TV show.
Based on the graphic novel.
Oh, don't get me started. Even though they spent way too much time in the forest looking for Sophia.
Sophia!
When they finally found her. Coming out of that barn as a zombie, that was one of the best scenes of that show. Even though she's alive in the comics, I thought that was... I'm going, oh my God, she's in there, isn't she? There she is!
See, that's why I don't watch this show, is because of that kind of crap.
Just look at the flowers, Sam. Just look at the flowers.
I guess so. What are you talking
look
about?
Look at the flowers.
Just look at the flowers.
Look at the flowers, Sam.
All right. So.
Oh, man.
Justice League Odyssey debut delayed by 2 months.
Well, this that gives 2 months. I thought it was like
two months. It says here.
So I think that's good news because that gives me 2 months to
eight weeks.
That gives me 2 months to get my financial issue, financial fears figured out. Yeah. Figure out if I'm buying it or not.
No, I probably not. I didn't read why.
Oh, I did. I read the article and it doesn't tell you why.
Yeah. The exact nature of the issue that caused the delay has yet to be revealed. Do you think it's because something's being delayed in Doomsday Clock, taking forever to come out?
Of course.
Who knows?
Maybe. Like it's just, you know, just give up.
If Doomsday Clock was supposed to change things.
Let me tell you something. The last issue of Doomsday Clock was amazing.
Yeah, but how many times?
It was so good.
How many times does a publisher come out with a miniseries that's supposed to change the universe forever?
Yeah.
And it's been delayed, and the spinoff books came out and spoiled everything and just ruined everything.
You know,
like,
Doomsday Clock's a weird book. Doomsday Clock's a weird book in that I always kind of read it. I buy it, read it, kind of forget about it, and then it comes out again. I'm like, oh, do I really want to read this? And then I get it. I'm like, whoa, that was so good.
Well, if anybody
that was so good.
If anybody wants to buy Doomsday Clock 1-4, it's for sale.
Yeah,
because I'm just going to wait for the trade paperback when it all comes out.
The last issue of Doomsday, because they revealed who Rorschach is.
Yeah.
Do you want to know who Rorschach
sure,
is?
Sure, shoot me.
All right.
Is it the kid who read the pirate comic?
No. Ugh. No, because he dies in the
explosion.
He dies in the explosion. Do you remember the doctor who was the psychiatrist for Doomsday for Rorschach?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
It's his son.
Oh.
And his son read all of Rorschach's his dad's
notes
and journals, and he became obsessed with it. And it's his son.
Okay, I can dig that.
Yeah, and it's an amazing issue when they show his life with his dad and the way that and then his parents were killed in the
explosion.
In the explosion. Do you remember that?
Yep.
Yeah, like and with the same time with the kid in the news stand, because they were all in that scene. So his folks were killed in the New York massacre, and now he's all I'm Rorschach. So, oh man, that issue where they explained all that was amazing. It was the best issue yet, yeah. And it had me like where I'm in. They could, you know what? They could take 6 years to end this. They could put one issue out a year. I will still buy it.
I'm just waiting until it comes out, yeah, and then I go buy the trade.
I'll buy it for you for Christmas.
Like I'm really interested. I really want to finish reading it, but I can't read a book that is 4 months late and it's just delayed.
Yeah.
I don't know. I still want to get on the Spider-Geddon thing. Like, you guys ditched it too quick because, like, it's spinning out of the pages of Spider-Man 800. Dan Slott's epic conclusion to his 10-year run delivers you straight into Spider-Geddon. It brings Marvel's spider heroes together for one of the most epic stories of all time.
Right. It's going to change everything.
It's going to change everything. Comics will never be the same.
You guys want to know what's going on in Luann?
Yes.
Oh, right.
It's time for Luann. We got 8 minutes left.
Advice to comic collectors, if they introduce a new character in this Spider-Geddon, buy 10 copies, because it's just going to go crazy.
It's going to go crazy.
So I got something serious to say about Luann.
Luann.
This isn't just my my puking out Luann. That's Adam Bishop saying he was waiting for this. I know it is. So anyways, this week in Luann...
Yes.
And I'm going to talk about previews. We were just going to jump into this week. Brad and Tony, which is a woman. Every time I talk about Brad and Tony, people always think that it's a gay couple, but it's not.
So it's Tony with an I.
Tony with an I, right. Brad is Luann's brother. Right. So brother and Tony is his wife. Well, Tony's niece, Shannon, who everybody always loves when Shannon comes to visit, she has now come to visit Brad and Tony. And is spending the night because Tony's brother, which is Shannon's father, is really irresponsible and he's always dumping Shannon on. So anyways, they've decided that they spent literally a week explaining the sleeping arrangements when Shannon comes to visit, which meant that Brad and Tony both didn't get much sleep. So now their TJ, which is their roommate, is going to make a new room for Shannon. We'll see how that works out. But this is the point. Shannon in the strip is about... I think she's supposed to be about 5 or 6 years old. And she's this really precocious kid with a big imagination and is kind of bratty and sincere, kind of...
annoying?
not annoying, but things that are in, maybe inappropriate or whatever. It's kind of like that thing out of the mouth of babes, right?
Right.
But I've been reading these Shannon strips this week, and I've been realizing that Bill Evans, who writes Luann, really writes innocent yet mischievous six-year-olds really, really well. He doesn't do it like Bill Watterson from Calvin and Hobbes, where Calvin actually has, you know, he knows what he's saying. He's more imaginative and smarter than the average 6 years old. He doesn't do that. But my God, he doesn't do that cutesy shit that Bill Keane was pulling out of the family circus.
Right.
He's able to really meet this fine line between the cutesy, you know, they don't know what they're saying of the family circus, combined with the crazy cleverness of Calvin and Hobbes. And he really can write kids like really well in an entertaining yet smart way. And so Bill Evans, I'm really enjoying what you're doing. But everybody knows that because I love Luann.
There you go.
So that's what's going on in Luann.
Right on.
All right.
Other than that?
Remember, gocomics.com, Luann.
Gocomics.com.
Go read it.
And if anybody's bored out of their mind tomorrow, the Oshawa Comic Con is in Oshawa.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
Who's going to be there? Christopher Plummer.
No, I don't think so.
No, but the variant to that, the Orc's going to be there.
Yeah, the Orc variant's going to be there. I don't know a lot about the show because, unfortunately, I can't go.
I do know. Allison Court's going to be there.
Is she at the Oshawa
one? I think she's at the Oshawa one. I saw that, yeah.
I feel like she's going to be at a few of Dave's shows, but I'm not sure about Oshawa.
She's a cutie.
I should know more about the show. I just don't because I know for a fact I can't make it. All right. Well, that's it for another episode of Hey Kids Comics. We will see you all next week.
Stay cool this weekend.
Happy Canada Day.
You have been listening to the Hey Kids Comics Radio Show broadcast through the facilities of Trent Radio on 92.7 CFFF FM in Peterborough, Ontario, and available as a downloadable podcast at www.heykidscomics.ca and at www.firstcomicsnews.com. Promotional consideration for the show was provided by no one. Are you kidding me? We couldn't get advertisers if we tried. Wardrobe for our hosts was provided by Joe Nerds in Whitby, Ontario. They don't know that fact, but that is where we get 90% of our clothes from. No animals were harmed in the making of this radio show. Marty tried, but allergies won't let him get too close to Sam's cats. The views and opinions expressed by Sam are solely his own and do not necessarily reflect the views or opinions of the rest of the hosts, as we all like the Walking Dead TV show. The Hey Kids Comics Radio Show is a Quinn Martin production and copyright Hey Kids Comico. Rebroadcasting in part or in whole of this show is forbidden, but really, who would want to anyway?